talk about a study that we did looking at Los Angeles County restaurant workers' attitudes and practices regarding working while ill. This was a study that was led by our EIS officer, Amanda Camilly, who has finished her two-year fellowship, so I will be presenting it for her. In 2014, CDC extended from an earlier analysis they had done, estimating the national burden of foodborne illness. They estimate 48 million foodborne illnesses each year, 128,000 hospitalizations, and 3,000 deaths annually. In Los Angeles County, the Acute Communicable Disease Control Program investigates foodborne outbreaks. In the 5 years from 2010 through 2014, 96 outbreaks were investigated. In 2014, there were 16 that were restaurant associated, and in three of them, an ill food handler was implicated as the source of the outbreak, either based on the epidemiology, laboratory test results, or both. In a 2008 study, the CDC Environmental Health Specialist Network surveyed workers at randomly selected restaurants in 9 states. Interviews were done face-to-face with kitchen managers and other food workers. Of 491 respondents, 60% said that they had worked at least one shift while ill at some point during their employment. For the most recent time that they worked while ill, 7% recalled working with vomiting or diarrhea, and 16% with nausea or upset stomach. On a 5-point scale, workers were asked what factors influenced their decision to work while ill, and factors that were likely or very likely to be related to that decision included the type of illness, its severity, concern about coworkers not getting paid, or fear of losing their job. In a multivariate analysis, working with diarrhea or vomiting was significantly associated with not wanting to leave coworkers short-staffed or fear of losing their job. Restaurant workers generally are poorly paid, often receiving minimum wage, so loss of income can be a strong incentive to work while ill. The minimum wage in California was increased to $10 per hour as of January 1st, 2016, so it's several dollars greater than the minimum wage elsewhere around the country. For someone working full-time, this translates to an annual income of $20,800, which is about $5,000 less than what is estimated to be a livable wage in Los Angeles for a single-person household. To reduce the burden of being out of work due to illness, the California Healthy Workplaces Healthy Families Act was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor and went into effect on July 1, 2015. The law mandates that all full and part-time workers who are eligible receive paid sick leave to accrue at 1 hour of paid leave per 30 hours worked. For full-time workers, this means a minimum of 3 days of sick leave per year. And this year, the Los Angeles City Council approved a measure that doubled this for workers in Los Angeles, with Rusty Hicks, the Executive Secretary Treasurer for the LA County Federation of Labor, stating that no longer will workers have to make a choice between putting food on the table and getting well. But what might this new law mean for restaurant workers who put food on your table when you go out to eat? So we had 4 objectives for this study. First, to determine practices of LA County restaurant workers regarding working while ill. Secondly, to determine why restaurant workers came to work ill. Third, describing current sick leave policies and their effect. And then finally, to describe attitudes regarding working while ill, sick leave policies, as well as the new law. In order to select restaurant workers to interview, we first chose restaurants from a randomized list of facilities in 15 of 33 environmental health jurisdictions. Restaurants were eligible if they served full meals and provided seating for customers, and we excluded restaurants at grocery or convenience stores, as well as hospital cafeterias. A contractor contacted the owner or manager of selected restaurants, explaining that they were working on behalf of the health department studying sick leave policies and the potential impact of the law, and indicated that restaurants would only be identified by a coded number and that the health department would neither know the identity of the restaurant nor the employees who were interviewed. The contractor ensured that staff were able to communicate in English, Spanish, or Mandarin, so they could do interviews in those three languages. And if the owner or manager agreed to participate, a visit was scheduled. Three interviews were completed per restaurant, one owner or manager and two kitchen staff who handled food. The interviews ideally were to take place in a private area, but in many small restaurants, there was no private location available. And following the interview, the worker received a $20 gift certificate. Interviews were conducted between May and August 2015. And although some interviews were done after the law's implementation date on July 1st, we found no difference between staff who were interviewed before and after that date. An analysis included descriptive information and univariate odds ratios. Overall, 2,482 restaurants were randomly selected. Of these, 437 were excluded because they could not be contacted, did not meet eligibility criteria, or the contractor could not communicate with the owner or manager because of a language barrier. Of the 2,045 eligible facilities contacted, 245, or 12%, participated. By far, the leading reason for non-enrollment was that a decision maker could not be contacted at the restaurant, despite a mean of 5.5 calls by the contractor to each restaurant. So, for example, a manager might say that the owner was the one who needed to decide, and the owner could never be contacted. And this was particularly a problem with some of the chain restaurants that were selected. The remaining 362 restaurants declined to participate, so that the participation rate among eligible restaurants where a decision maker could be contacted was 40.4%. Characteristics of participating restaurants are shown here. Half had more than 50 seats, 32% had 21 to 50 seats, and 44 or 18% had fewer than 20 seats. So many of these restaurants were very small. 30% of facilities were chain restaurants, and 96% received an A rating from our environmental health program, and this is not substantially different from the 95% of all restaurants in the county that get an A. Of the 245 participating restaurants, almost half had any sick leave policy, and for 29% overall, that policy was written. 31% of restaurants shown in red have a policy of paid sick leave, so two-thirds of those who have a policy have paid sick leave as part of that policy. 43% responded that they informed employees of the policy at the time that they were hired, and 32% specifically addressed what employees should do if they have diarrhea or vomiting. And 43% required that an owner or manager be informed if an employee is ill. While 31% of restaurants reported that they had some paid sick leave, when asked what categories of workers had that leave, 27% said it was available for managers, 25% for cooks, 20% for other kitchen workers, and only 16% of servers had any paid sick leave. So let's move from the restaurant characteristics and policies to the restaurant workers themselves. Overall, 699 workers participated in our survey, 244 owners or managers, and 455 other food handlers, again, generally kitchen staff. Most were male, and managers were, on average, about a decade older than other workers. Managers were most often Asian or Pacific Islander or Hispanic, and employees most often Hispanic. Most were high school graduates, and the majority of interviews were done in either English or Spanish. So what do restaurant workers think and do regarding working while sick? When we asked, how important do you think it is that food preparers stay home from work when they are sick, 96% answered that it was very important or important. And indeed, 175 or 25% of respondents reported that they actually did take time off from work during the prior 12 months because of illness. So for many, actions were concordant with beliefs. However, this was not universally true. When asked whether during the prior 12 months they had worked one or more shifts while ill, 102, or 15% of respondents, reported working while ill, and 19, or 3% of them, reported working with diarrhea or vomiting. Note that these proportions are much lower than those in the previous CDC study. However, the question that we asked was limited to the previous 12 months, whereas the CDC study asked if they had ever worked while ill during their employment at that facility. Comparing owners or managers with employees, 17% of the former group worked while ill, compared with 13% of the latter, but this difference is not statistically significant. In interviewing owners or managers, we asked about having a food handler's card, which is required for all employees involved in the preparation, storage, or service of food, and also about food safety training during the past year. As shown here, 95% of managers said they had the food handler's card, and 54% recent food safety training. However, there was no association between either and reports of working while ill, and in fact, the proportion in each of those groups is identical. When the 102 respondents who reported working while ill were asked why they did so, a number of reasons were given, which I've grouped into three different categories. Answers related to the perception of the illness, those having to do with the relationships with coworkers, and those related to financial issues. Among the financial issues, 38% indicated that they needed the money, 25% mentioned not having paid sick leave, 18% reported that they would need a doctor's note, which may be a financial issue given the time and the cost of visiting a doctor, and 16% indicated that they were afraid of losing their job if they took time off from work. Half of those who worked while they were ill did report changing some of their work practices during that shift. Most commonly reported was washing hands more frequently, indicated by 13%, with 5% indicating that they wore gloves and 4% saying that they did not handle food during that shift. Well, 1/4 of those who worked while they were ill said the absence of paid sick leave affected their decision, and others mentioned needing money or fear of losing their job. And all of these factors might be affected if they had paid sick leave. So what did we find out in terms of a relationship between a restaurant that had a sick leave policy and the odds of an employee working while ill? As shown, at restaurants with sick leave policies or with paid sick leave, employees were equally likely to work while ill as at restaurants without such policies. Clearly, there was no association between policy and practice. In addition, although chain restaurants were significantly more likely to have a sick leave policy and also a higher odds, though not significantly so, of having paid sick leave, there was no difference in employees working while ill between chain and non-chain restaurants. Thus, we found no evidence that currently any association exists between paid sick leave and restaurant managers or kitchen staff working while ill. But given that most employees do not currently have paid sick leave, we wanted also to learn what they thought about the new law and its potential impact on their practices. We asked first whether respondents were aware of the new law, and 48% said that they were. When asked using a 5-point Likert scale how likely it was that the new paid sick leave law would change whether they took time off when they were sick, almost 3/4, 73%, said it was very likely or likely that they would change their behavior. And reports of likely behavior change were significantly more common among workers at restaurants that did not currently have paid sick leave compared with those that did. In addition, When we analyze the likelihood of behavior change against whether the employee reported working while ill in the past year, 67 of the 102 people who worked while sick, in other words, going down that middle column, indicated that they would very likely or likely change their behavior due to the new law. So potentially, about two-thirds of working while ill might be prevented. Nevertheless, we also found that those who reported that they were not likely to change their behavior had a higher rate of working while ill, 19 versus 13%, and this difference was almost statistically significant. There were a number of important limitations to our study. First, we had a very low participation rate for eligible restaurants, even among those for which a decision maker could be contacted. There also may be selection bias in terms of which employees were selected by the owner or manager to participate in the interviews. Most importantly, reported and actual behaviors may differ. Almost three-quarters of interviews were done in a non-private area, and this and the fact that respondents likely knew that they should not work while they're sick may have led to fewer reports of doing so. In addition, the proportion of employees who worked while ill was substantially less than in that prior CDC study, although as mentioned previously, the questions were different. Finally, while we targeted our survey to managers and kitchen staff, we know that many servers also handle food, and we did not assess their knowledge, attitudes, or practices. One thing that is interesting to me about survey results is the difference between what people say in response to questions about their attitudes and what they actually do. In our survey, we found 96% agreed that ill employees should not work, yet 15% reported doing so. And while a significantly greater proportion of employees without current sick leave said that the law would change their practices, we found that currently there is no association between paid sick leave and employees working while ill. So in summary, before the new law mandating paid sick leave, the majority of Los Angeles County restaurants did not offer such paid leave. There were various reasons for working while ill that were cited by the 15% who did so, including factors related to the illness, to coverage, as well as financial reasons. Thus, because of these multiple factors, paid sick leave alone is unlikely to substantially change practices. And finally, among managers, training in food safety was unrelated to practice of working while ill. So in conclusion, these findings suggest that we need to better understand and effectively address both the financial and the non-financial reasons that contribute to employees working while ill. We also will be working with our environmental health program to ensure that restaurants have written sick leave policies and that employees are aware of their rights under the new law. Finally, we believe that further investigation is important. This may include conducting focus groups to better identify and understand how the multiple factors that affect work practices might be addressed. And now that the new law has been in effect for about a year, to repeat the survey and assess whether employees are aware of that law and whether it's changed their behaviors. I'd like to conclude by acknowledging staff from the LA County Department of Public Health Environmental Health Program, Brenda Lopez, Freddie Agin, and Veronica Petrosian, as well as Paul Weinfurter and Vasudha Narayanan from WestEd, which was our contractor for this study. Thank you.
And we have a couple minutes for questions.
Thank you, Ben. I had a question in the sense that you're identified a number of items and you're going to be doing maybe some focus groups in terms of how to address them. I thought one was very interesting that's teased out is this issue of concern about their coworkers and, you know, being able to have coverage. I'm just wondering what solutions might exist for that.
Yeah, that's a difficult one, and it's particularly difficult in very small restaurants, perhaps family-owned restaurants, where really they have a very limited number of staff. A number of facilities do have on-call lists for employees, so that if it's not their particular day for a shift, they might be on call, so that for larger restaurants, that might represent a solution, but for very small restaurants, I think it's still a conundrum.
Hi, Erica Smith from Pennsylvania. I just had a question, and I apologize if I missed it. I know you dichotomized based on management versus other workers, but were you able to assess if the managers were actually food handlers or not? Because sometimes they are and sometimes they're not.
Yeah, the managers, I think in all but maybe four, were food handlers as well.
Okay, thanks.
Could you go to the microphone? Thank you.
Short, so this doesn't help. I'm from Pennsylvania, Corinne Howard. I was wondering if there's any consideration for whether some of the positions were tip-based. I can see where a policy may cover their salary, but for a lot of those, tips is really where they're making their money. So was that ever factored in?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We did ask whether the if they had sick leave, whether there would still be financial reasons. But I actually cannot recall the results of that analysis. But we were concerned about that also, that paid sick leave may not equal the financial remuneration they would get if they were working. But we can look at that again from our survey.
All right. I'm sorry, I always have one more question. So did you consider stratifying the analysis by the size of the restaurant?
We can do that,
okay.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you, Ben.